Hey everyone, I'm jumping on a couple of minutes early. It's a couple of minutes to 8 in the morning in Sydney, and I just wanted to come on a couple of minutes early just to fix my hair. All I can see is myself at the moment. It's so funny with live. It's not as easy to see who's joining, who's watching, and who's commenting. But I wanted to come on a couple of minutes early just to get set up for the call, just to let you all know that I'm in here, and hopefully you'll be getting notifications. I do think Facebook lets you know when someone is live. Let me just make sure I can see. Connie Chapman is now live and slow down and tune in. Looks like it's working. All right. So I'm not sure who can join me live. If you are joining me live at any point, I would love if you would say hello to me. What I can see is a number of people who are watching, but I can never see who's watching. So if you're here with me live, say hello. Let me know who's here. Let me know where you're dialing in from, whether you are watching in Australia or whether you are somewhere around the world. I think that this morning time, hi Natasha. Hi Belinda, I saw that you've joined. I know that I think this time in the morning here, hi Madonna, beautiful name, I love that, means that people from the States and perhaps Europe and the UK, not sure about the UK, can log in as well on your Wednesday evening. So I can see people joining, actually. I can see Carol as well, beautiful to see you, member from previous round. Hi Nicole, I am, now that it's coming up to 8 a.m., just good morning, Carol. So nice to see you. Going to dive in. Oh, Natasha, you're in Port Douglas. Beautiful. Oh, look at you all joining me live. Awesome. I'm going to try not to get distracted. I always get so distracted when I'm watching people join and I get distracted by my hair. I'm not going to touch my hair while I'm talking. Rebecca, hello. Okay. So first of all, thank you to all of you who sent through questions. I so appreciate it. I really appreciate it when you reach out, get the support that you need. Let me know what's going on for you. Share your personal situations and then I can give you guidance. And what I have found from running many of these calls, and you would have seen there's 12 of these in the live calls tab on the member site, archived calls. So you can watch a lot of past calls. But what I have found is that no matter what each person shares, when I can pull out sort of themes around what they're asking and share guidance, everyone gets value from it. So for those of you who sent through questions, thank you. If you didn't send through a question, just trust that what I'm sharing, you may still get something out of it, even if it's, you may think, oh, that question doesn't relate to me. You'll be amazed how much you'll actually gain from hearing other people's questions and hearing what I share. So we have Natasha from Port Douglas in Queensland. Melina's in Melbourne. Belinda's in Melbourne. Hi, Nicole. Hi, Amanda. Amanda's in Chicago. Awesome. Hi, Rebecca. Hi, everyone. Beautiful to see you. Okay, so I have a big list of questions. What I have is my document next to me with all of your questions and the points that I want to cover. If at any point as I'm talking you want to share anything in the comments section, you want to chat with me, you want to ask further questions, you can do that. I'm going to try to keep this to an hour. I have a lot to get through, so I'm pretty much just going to go straight in and just be working through and answering the questions because I want to keep us to an hour if possible. But I do often know that these initial calls, in the first couple of ones we do, there's usually a lot of questions. So let's go. Who else do I have here? Hi Ada, beautiful to see you. Beautiful to see you all. Thank you for being here. Okay, question. This is a beautiful question that came up in the Facebook group, and I think a lot of you will be able to relate to this, around how do we keep up a good routine? So someone saying, and look, I can relate to this, we can all relate to this, where you notice that you have a couple of really good, say, mornings where you're up early, meditating, journaling, doing yoga, enjoying a green smoothie, you know, the ideal morning routine, and you feel really proud of yourself for it, but then before you know it, after a few days, old patterns creep back in, and maybe you're missing yoga, you know, rushing, not able to do the morning routine, and it all sort of unravels. And I think a lot of us experience this, and I don't want any of you to be too hard on yourself if you're beginning in these early stages of the course to create new habits, build new rituals into your life, practice new ways of being, and then your old patterns creep back in. So one of the first things we want to be mindful of is just not judging ourselves for that, berating ourselves, and going into this story of like, well, I'm a failure now and I'm just going to give up. And I have heard that happen a little bit through the course, even if people fall behind on coursework. And it's strange how we have this all or nothing mentality, don't we? It's like, oh, well, I'm behind now, so I might as well just let the whole thing go. And what I want to say to this question, and I've got a few other things to touch on, but please know you can reset at any time. You always have the ability to reset, refocus, get back on track. But what most of us do is if we have a failure, if we fall off the wagon, if we fall behind, we watch ourselves do something we don't want to do, we just let the whole thing unravel then. And we go, oh, well, just give up on the whole thing. Or, oh, well, I started eating that chocolate cookie, I might as well eat the whole bag. Oh, well, I didn't exercise today, may as well not exercise for the rest of the week. Oh, I didn't do this week's workbook. Oh, well, I'll leave the course. Be mindful of that type of mentality and remember, you can reset and refocus at any moment, at any time. And the minute that you wake up and you realize, oh, I've totally fallen off the wagon. Oh, I haven't been sticking to my habit. Oh, I said I was going to do that thing and I haven't done it. I haven't made time for that. Beautiful, you've caught it. Get excited that you've caught it, you've witnessed it. Then recommit to whatever your intention is. It doesn't matter if you've been off the wagon for 3 weeks. You can recommit at any time, refocus and get back on track. So once you witness it, remind yourself what your intention is. Remind yourself what the new pattern of behavior is that you're wanting to practice. Remind yourself what's important to you. And I was going to say something and then it totally escaped my mind. So we'll just let that thought go and it will come back to me. What you need to realize with creating new habits and new patterns of behavior is if you've been running a certain pattern of behavior, the way you've been doing something, say you sleep in every morning, if you've been doing that for a year, maybe 3 years, maybe 10 years, maybe 3 months, if you've been doing that for a long period of time, it's ingrained in your body, in your nervous system, in your brain, as it's a programming, it's ingrained as a habit. It's ingrained as the way you do things. And then if you try to implement a new habit and you practice it for 3 days and then you wonder why it's kind of hard and it's not sticking, well, because you're currently in a process of trying to reprogram your brain and your way of being into this new habit of behavior. And they say it takes 21 days to form a habit. So sometimes you've got to stick with something for around 3 to 4 weeks before it starts to feel that more sort of effortless and natural. You might need to be sort of really working quite consciously on the getting up early, all the healthy eating, all the making time for your coursework, all the practicing meditation. And the first 3 to 4 weeks, it might feel like a lot of effort and it might feel like hard work and you might keep naturally defaulting back to your old habit of behavior. But that's because you're currently in a process of reprogramming yourself. And that takes time. But every time you practice that new pattern of behavior, even if you fall off the wagon for 3 weeks and then you come back, every time you come back, you're re-cementing that. You are strengthening it. You are re-ingraining it. And you are telling your whole body and mind that you're doing things differently now. So just be gentle with yourself because you're going to be in a reprogramming stage for at least 3 to 4 weeks as you're trying to practice new habits of behavior. You are going to naturally default to your old habit because it's what you know, it's what's familiar, it's a habit, it's an unconscious habit. So you have to consciously be reprogramming. So when you do fall off the wagon, forgive yourself, be gentle on yourself, recommit to whatever is important to you, remind yourself what you're now wanting to put energy into, and then go about starting again. Just start again. You don't have to beat up on yourself for the fact that you haven't done it for the past few weeks. Just start again in whatever moment you realize you've fallen off the wagon. The other thing I want to point out here is really find what works for you in terms of what helps you create change, what helps you set up a new pattern of behavior. You want to set yourself up for success here. So if at some point you were able to be waking up early, meditating, journaling, doing yoga, having your smoothie, what enabled you to do that? What was going on in your mind? How were you talking to yourself? Had you made a decision? Had you made a new commitment? Had you set up things in your environment to really help you do that? I know for me, when I'm wanting to practice getting up early and training in the mornings, running in the mornings, I need to really set myself up for success. I have to have the clothes out. I have to have everything ready. I have to have everything organized. And that really helps me then set into that pattern of behavior. And it's also, it's a mindset thing. It's a real conscious decision of that's it. I'm getting up tomorrow. I'm doing this. So anytime you have implemented a new pattern of behavior, think back to what really helped me do that. Was it something I was telling myself? Did I set up things in my environment to help me? Did I have some really supportive self-talk going on? Had I made a decision and a new commitment? And then just replicate that. Just reuse that same strategy again. And then notice what changed in you that caused your pattern to unravel. Was there some self-talk that started of, oh, I'm tired, this is too hard, I can't do it, this is never going to get me anywhere anyway. You know, work's more important than getting up early, whatever it is. Notice how something changed in you that caused you to fall off the wagon of that pattern of behavior. So that's a deeper level of awareness, to notice what is the self-talk, the mindset, the inner decision, the action steps, the way you support yourself when you're able to follow through and execute those new habits, and then what's going on inside of you when those habits are being neglected. And notice you'll be talking to yourself very differently, and therefore having very different action flowing from that. So be gentle on yourself. Reset in any moment. You can reset and refocus and restart in any moment. Don't hold the past against yourself. Figure out what really works for you when you're building a new habit, how to set yourself up for success, and be patient with it. It's going to take time for that to feel really natural and normal to you. So it's going to feel like a lot of conscious effort at the beginning. But then when you practice something consciously enough times, once you've mastered it consciously, it just goes into the unconscious and becomes a habit. And you don't have to think about it ever again. You just run it on autopilot. Okay, question around. Like I said, I'm going to move through stuff quite quickly because I want to make sure we get through everything today. And if this is too fast at any point, you can rewatch this. The replay will be in the Facebook group for you to rewatch at any time. All right, question around boundaries and technology, because I talked a lot about things like turning off notifications on your phone, working with one tab at a time, which, you know, we're not all perfect at. I'm not perfect at. But this woman was asking, particularly because I have an online business, how to manage technology and boundaries around that. And, you know, she was saying she finds technology quite triggering, that she wants to pull away from social media or her phone because of that, but then, you know, wants to stay connected to people and still wants to watch inspiring content, for example, online. So look, we live in a really technological society. It is these days how we connect and communicate. You don't have to use it to connect and communicate, but it's a lot of the ways that we do. We do. So I don't think it's realistic to say that we're not going to use it at all. But it's just simply about where you can changing your relationship to it in a lot of small ways that will support you to have better boundaries, support you to manage your own energy, and support you to have breaks, and then support you as well to be mindful of how you feel when you're engaging in, say, social media or technology, for example. So I'm all for boundaries at different times. And this woman had said, you know, sometimes she just stays off her phone and just ignores it for periods of time, but then, you know, her friends, family become frustrated. But you can go, you know, you can create pockets of time in your day where you're not on your phone. Particularly if I'm sitting down to create something, I put my phone on airplane mode. And if I can't tell you how light I feel knowing there are no calls that are going to come through, no texts, no notifications, nothing. And even if you just start with doing that for a couple of hours a day to give yourself a break, then when you do come back to the phone and you're ready to connect because you've had a break, then you can show up and actually properly consciously connect. Get back to those people who need to hear from you. Maybe go on social media and say, oh, I can catch up now on what's happened today. And I might sit down for half an hour and check in with my favorite people and see what they've been up to today. And then I'm off. So I think it's about you deciding in yourself what boundaries and rules you want to create around it so that it can feel good to you. So I definitely think take breaks from the phone through the day. Airplane mode, I just think, is phenomenal for that. Have delegated times that you're using your phone to connect with people, whether it's making the phone calls, catching up on emails, catching up on text messages, or catching up on social media. And pay attention to how you're feeling when you are engaging in technology. Something that I've noticed for me at the moment, and I don't necessarily recommend this, but I actually find scrolling Instagram is like my relaxation. Because at the moment, I'm not finding social media triggering, right? It's just not really triggering me. I just find, like, I just like to watch stories and scroll, and it's kind of my relaxation, my unwind at the end of the day. But if you find it's not relaxing for you, if you find it's triggering, have a look at why. Why is it triggering you, and what about it is triggering you? You can consciously cultivate, I think that's what I was trying to say, a feed that feels good to you. We have the ability to press follow or unfollow. If you've got people who really trigger you, you can unfollow them. There's several people who trigger me who I don't follow because I don't want them in my feed, but then I go over and I visit their accounts when I'm in a good headspace to visit them and see what they're up to, because I know they do tend to trigger me a little bit. And so I'd rather just go to their account when I'm in a good headspace rather than have it in my feed. So you can do things like that. And you can cultivate a feed that is literally just full of things that really inspire you, so that when you go on there, you feel good. And if you're noticing things come up in your account and you don't feel good, unfollow the person. You have the ability to do that. Or just be mindful that if you're not in a good emotional or mental state, maybe you need to stay off your phone or stay off social media until you come back into a good state. Because if you know it's a triggering thing for you, don't go on there when you're feeling fragile and sensitive. Another question here about developing a nighttime ritual, which is a beautiful question. I've had a few people ask me about nighttime rituals. So she said she's already got, she has a drink in the evenings, like she makes a little milky drink, and also does the evening reflection journaling from my journaling guide, which is awesome. But she'd love to know more ideas for a relaxing routine. A couple of things that really work for me as evening routines is most definitely always changing into relaxing clothes. I would suggest doing that as soon as you get home from work, if you can. As soon as your work day ends, change out of work clothes into relaxation clothes. It already starts to trigger your nervous system into a very different state. Have a hot shower, have a hot bath, give yourself a nice body massage if you want, with like some nice cream or some oils. That's a really nice way to calm the nervous system. I just start playing music. I play the Slow Down and Tune In playlist in the evenings. Get off your phone, light some candles, get the lighting quite dim. Just think about all the things that start to signal your nervous system that it's time to wind down. Maybe read a book. That's a lovely thing to do. Maybe journaling, that sometimes could be too stimulating if it's getting your mind active. You could just do something like read a book, get a podcast playing, listen to a guided meditation. For me, I like to get into bed quite early. I get into bed before I'm ready to go to sleep. And sometimes I just lie in bed and I reflect on the day, and maybe I'll pull a couple of oracle cards while I'm in bed. Maybe I'll listen to a bit of a podcast, listen to a guided meditation. So for me, it's usually changing my clothes. It's setting up things in the environment that create a really calming, relaxing environment. And it's getting into bed quite early and either reading a book or just beginning to wind down, maybe even before I'm ready to sleep. That may not work for you, but also stretching, like rolling out a yoga mat and doing some stretching, getting into your body and like releasing the day is a really nice thing to do at night. But I find, usually a hot shower as well, and then a nice body massage, maybe with some calming essential oils, really signals my body that it's time to unwind and relax. And final question from this beautiful woman: how do you slow down during the day when other people are interrupting you and demanding things of you? Yes, I'm lucky to obviously not be working in an intense environment like that anymore, where people are coming at me. So I can understand that's a really difficult thing to manage, and a lot of you are probably in environments like that. So when it comes to slowing down, you know, maybe even for some of you who are mums as well, and you have kids at you all the time, you have things at you all the time, right? So the slowing down in this instance, think about it more as slowing down from within. Slowing down what is within your control, which is your state of being. And this is where just take on some of those small practices that we talked about in the first class around using your breath. If you're noticing like things are coming at you, you can be using your breath to help you just slow down and come back into your body. If you know, notice your reaction time. And I get it, if things are coming at you, maybe you need to react and respond quite quickly. But see if you can just give yourself a little pause, a little moment to pause and just take a breath and just feel into how you want to respond rather than the automatic reaction that sometimes happens when things come at us. If there's anywhere you can put in boundaries, because maybe you can, and just look at it, if there is anywhere you can put in a boundary around email perhaps. I know it's different if you're in a work environment, but just see if there is any way you can put in a boundary. I even know for some of the women I coach who work in day jobs, sometimes they'll take themselves off to meeting rooms and do work in there where other people can't interrupt them. Or if they have a door in their office, they'll close the door. They'll go and work somewhere else, yeah, so that people can't connect with them maybe just for an hour. And just see if there's anywhere that you can put in a boundary that will just allow you to be in a little bit more of your own space, or maybe not have so much coming at you all at once. Again, sometimes for some of my corporate clients, it's about having a conversation with people in their team or with their staff where they say, I'm not available during this time and this time. Or if you have a question, go to this other person during this time. Or it's actually, you know, I don't know your role, but there are sometimes ways to just not be as accessible. Not everyone can do it, but just see if there are any ways that you can set things up so that you can create a boundary or have set periods of time where you're not accessible to people, or have ways that if you're managing staff, that they have someone else to ask their questions to, or there's only set times they can come and approach you around something. There are little ways to set up boundaries there. But again, be focusing on your inner state of slowing down and what you can do to support your own inner state, the way you're thinking, the way you're reacting and responding to things, the way you're supporting yourself to breathe and slow down and stay in your body, and maybe have little things like an essential oil you can use, or a face spray, or a herbal tea that soothes your nervous system. And also look at those things you're doing in work and outside of work that are filling you up and actually helping you feel more nourished so that you're more resilient and able to handle what's coming at you during the day. So that's a difficult situation. It's not something I can 100% relate to because I haven't been in that as recently, but just look for those small areas where you can either be supporting your own state of being, so what's going on inside of you in relationship to what's coming at you. And then also if there's anywhere, even if it's one place that you can put in a couple of boundaries, create space for yourself, be inaccessible and unavailable at certain times, have your emails minimized if you're working on a project, ask for support from your team if you've got that, little things like that. Just have a play around and see what comes up there for you. All right, I'm just powering through, my loves. Okay, I've had a couple of questions come up around getting triggered by people, really beautiful questions around seeing people as our mirror and our teacher, and also relationships with family members and triggering. I've talked about this a lot in past calls. Now, I can't remember which particular calls I've talked about it in, but if you do end up making your way through all of those 12 live group coaching calls from past rounds, you will find there's a lot of conversations around this in there and a lot of me sharing my own personal experience, because this has been a huge area of learning for me in my life, and it's been a very difficult area for me. And I've had to do a lot of work around my relationship with my family and the triggering and the unsupportiveness of those dynamics. And yeah, it's been big. So make your way through those, but let's just see if we can talk about a couple of things here today, because it's coming up. So one question, how do we set boundaries with family members who are hurting you with insensitive comments because they're not in tune with themselves? And we encounter this a lot. We encounter particularly family members as we're becoming conscious and they're still unconscious. They're not doing the work. They're not really aware of who they're being. They're just still running their own patterns of behavior, but we're waking up and trying to become empowered, loving beings, and we're still stuck in these dynamics with people who just aren't there. And so, you know, I'm hearing this in this question, and this is something I've encountered as well, is almost like, how do we wake them up, or how do we have them be different so that it's easier for us to be in those environments? And there's a lot of frustration that comes through when we just wish, we either want to help our family members or people that we care about. We want them to be different. We want them to get it. And we want them to act in a way that makes it easier for us to be around them. But that may not be their journey, first of all. And this is something I've really had to learn the hard way, is to let go of trying to change or improve or help anyone in my family. I can't tell you how many years I spent trying to heal my mother. So many years trying to heal her so that my life could be easier, so that I could see her be happy, so that she could relate to me in a way that made me feel better, that loved me and supported me, and that I could finally get what I needed from her. And I had to give up on that a long time ago because it was such a source of stress for me trying to get her to be different. So that's one thing, is if you're getting triggered in relationships, I want you to keep your focus on you where possible and on doing the work to shift and change and support yourself rather than on that person and rather on trying to figure out how to get them to be different. So that's the first thing. You might just need to practice unconditional love of that person, which means, I don't like how you're being, you're upsetting me, you're hurting me, you're being insensitive, but I'm going to let you just be who you are and love you just as you are. This doesn't mean tolerating, you know, abuse and anything like that. Like, if this is really not okay, the way the person's being, don't be in that environment. If you can, get yourself out of there. But I'm talking more about like just when we're getting really triggered by someone. So look, our family members are our most significant teachers. A majority of us will get triggered in our family more so than anywhere else, particularly if we have changed and evolved, but our family member still relates to us in a way like in an old version of ourselves. That very much happens with my mum. Because my mum lives in Melbourne now, I live in Sydney, we don't see each other very often. And so when I go back home, she's sort of treating me like who I was 10 years ago. And I'm like, hello, like I'm a different person. And so it really affects me. And I feel like she doesn't get me, you know, because she doesn't know me really anymore. But what I would encourage is when you get triggered in family dynamics, really look at what is getting triggered in you. When anyone triggers you, keep your focus on you. Try not to go to them. Try not to point the finger and you're doing this and blame and I wish you would change and then my life would be easier. Have the courage to really look at yourself and ask, what is getting triggered in me right now? What am I feeling? What emotion is coming up here for me? What wound are they pressing on? Because this is why particularly we get triggered in our most intimate relationships, is there's a wound there. There's a pain point. And family, more than anyone, without meaning to, know how to press on it. And this may be a wound that was actually put into place when you were very young. So one of my, I have so many wounds around my mother, but you know, what would actually happen is the way my mum would act now would press on a wound from when I was a kid. And that's why I would have such a reaction to it. So I really want you to look at what emotion, what feeling comes up in you. Do you feel hurt? Do you feel unloved? Do you feel misunderstood? Do you feel criticized? Do you feel judged? Do you feel not accepted? Do you feel unheard? That's your wound. And that person is activating your wound for you to look at your wound and heal your wound. And it may at the moment not be their job to heal that for you. It may be your job to heal that for you. This is an easy work. But what's unresolved in this relationship with this person? So another small example was with my father. Now, my father's passed away. He passed away last year. But in the lead up to, I don't talk about him very often, and I didn't think it would make me upset. Sorry, I wasn't expecting that at all. But with my father, I had a wound with him around being misunderstood and him, sorry, I really wasn't expecting that when I brought him up. I apologize, sorry guys. Wow, was not expecting that. So I had a wound with him around being misunderstood. Whew. And whenever I would communicate with him in my adult years, we would have these constant communication breakdowns. And I would become so angry and frustrated at him and get really upset at him because I had this underlying story of dad just doesn't understand me. He doesn't get me. He doesn't see me. He doesn't hear me. He doesn't know who I am. And so anytime he would act in a way where he would challenge or question me or not support my dreams or tell me to do something different to what I wanted to do, I would get so angry because he was pressing on that deep wound, that inner child in me that felt misunderstood, that didn't feel heard and loved and seen. So, okay, now that I've refocused myself, look at what might be unresolved in this relationship. Look at what emotion gets triggered. Look at what you start telling yourself in relationship to this person. Look at changing who you want to be and how you want to respond to them. So what we most want, what we usually want to do is, I would feel better if you were different. I would feel better if you stopped doing that thing you do. And we're not in our power there. Versus, how can I change how I'm relating to this person, how I'm handling what they're saying, how I'm internalizing what they're saying? Because we're making up a meaning. My dad was just being him, but I would make up a meaning of, he doesn't understand me, he doesn't love me, he doesn't get me. Look at the story you're creating in yourself around how they're being, and see if you can change that. So there might need to be some healing work around forgiveness if you still have underlying resentment towards this person in your life. There might need to be healing work around a wound that they're pressing on. There might need to be some healing conversations. And I tried to have a lot of healing conversations with my parents and they never really got it, but it was still healing for me to sit down with them at different points and try to express and communicate and say, when you do this thing you do, this is how I feel. Dad, when you tell me that you think I should go get a day job rather than being in my business, that makes me feel really unsupported. It makes me feel like you don't believe in me. So sometimes having those honest, heartfelt conversations where you can really let that person know how they're causing you to feel can be very healing. And then again, if you need to put boundaries in place, I've spoken about this a lot, but I left home when I was 20 because I literally just couldn't be in my family's, I couldn't be in my that family environment anymore. I had a very loving family environment, but a very toxic family environment, a lot of emotional abuse. My parents were even physically abusive with each other at some points. There was a lot of alcohol use. There was a lot of abuse there, even though it was very loving as well. So I left when I was 20, and I don't encourage everyone to distance themselves from their family, but if that's needed, boundaries may be needed. And having the boundaries and the space from my family was one of the most healing things I ever did because it allowed me, the freedom to figure out who I was outside of that family dynamic and then be more conscious around what I wanted to create with them when I came back together with them. So there's a lot there. We will continue to talk about this in future sessions if you want to bring these questions to me again. But that's my kind of starting point around how to handle stuff. This, it's big work. It really is. And it may take quite a bit of work to heal and resolve. Now, there's been another question around this, around another woman asking something similar. And she's asking around something like what I was just talking about. She's finding that her mother is triggering a lot of her own fears and her inner critic that really activate that in her through the remarks that she makes. And this woman's been away from home and she's now back staying at her parents' house and she's finding it really hard. I remember doing this. I moved back home when I was 28 for about 6 months. I lived back with my family, and it was one of the hardest things I ever did. Oh my God. But you need to trust that if for some reason you've been brought back into someone's space, if you're sort of stuck living with someone at the moment, there's a reason. I want you to trust there's a reason at the moment that you're in that person's space. There's something for them to be showing you and teaching you, something for you to learn and experience there. So stay open to the lesson, even if it's uncomfortable. If someone triggers your fears and inner critic, my mum does this a lot. She triggers a lot of my fears of lack and scarcity because my mum has a real lack mindset, whereas I really consciously try to create an abundance mindset. So I'm doing all my work and I'm feeling abundant, feeling good. And then I spend time with my mom, and all she talks about is lack of money and scarcity and stress and that she's on the pension. And I'm just like, oh my God, so depressing, you know? And then it activates my own lack energy. So what our work in those situations is, whatever she's triggering in you, is for you to manage your own state of being. For you to manage your own reaction, for you to manage what's getting triggered in you rather than trying to change that person. So you may notice it, witness it, and then when you've got some space, reflect on what is this triggering in me? And you'll be like, wow, she's pressing on my button, which is my fear of running out of money, my fear of not enough, my fear that life isn't going to provide for me, or whatever the fear or inner critic voices that's getting activated for you. And that's your work. That's now when you take your attention off the other person, who's that person who's helped activate it for you, because they're activating it because you need to look at it. They're helping bring it up to the surface because maybe you need to heal it. So you take your attention off that person's triggered it, and you go, okay, well, what's my work then? My work is to work on my own mindset, to process my own fears, to work through my own inner critic and transform it into love. And now that's my work. And I know it's hard, but we can't get angry at those people who bring up our stuff. Because what's the other option? Our stuff is just going to sit inside of us and we're never going to look at it. You actually want that person to trigger this stuff so that you can bring it up and look at it and get it out. And if rather than asking your mother or that significant person to be for you what you're going to need to feel how you want to feel, you need to be that for yourself. So maybe for me to feel abundance, it would be much easier if my mom would tell me stories of abundance. But if she can't be that for me, well, I need to be that for myself. So let me look at, okay, maybe I still have some fear or insecurity around this area. How do I need to change my thinking and how I support myself and how I relate to myself so that I can get the support that I need from me? Maybe I can't get it from that person. How do I then be that support person from me? How would I love to see that person showing up for me? How do I be that for myself instead? And so this woman's also asked, you know, can I talk about the expression that everyone is your mirror? Well, we're sort of talking about it. And what I would say to that is, I wouldn't say everyone is your mirror. And that's a big statement. I would say some people are your mirror. I would say life is a reflection of who you're being, absolutely. And people are showing up as reflections of you. But I wouldn't go too far into analyzing that everyone is your mirror, because that's pretty overwhelming. But I would definitely say relationships are mirrors because they help you see things about yourself that maybe you couldn't otherwise see. And when we don't like what we're seeing about ourselves, we may get angry and defensive and make the other person wrong. Versus being humble enough to sit back and be open and say, wow, if something is getting triggered in me, then there's something here for me to look at. Thank you for helping me see that about myself. Thank you for helping me see something that's unresolved. So they can help illuminate and show you things about yourself. They can reflect back patterns of behavior that maybe you don't believe you have. And you see it in someone else and you're like, oh, yuck, I hate it when that person's like that. Get really honest. And none of us like to do this, but there will be some place in some way that you're disowning maybe where you do that. You're not willing to face and look at where you do that. There is that saying, you know, we can only see in, we can't see in another something that We can't see in another something that doesn't exist within ourselves, I think is the saying. So, you know, if you see a quality in another that you really admire and you're envious of it, it's a sign that it's something that you do actually have the ability to express and embody, but you're not owning that you do. So you put power in that person. You're like, oh, they're so amazing because they're so confident, for example. And you have the ability to be confident in your own way, but you're not owning that. You're not owning your own confidence. Or say someone is dishonest. Say someone always lies and you're like, oh God, that is such a bad quality. I can't stand that person because they always lie. If you get really triggered by that, you might need to sit with, where am I not being truthful? And it may not be that you lie to other people, but maybe you're lying to yourself. Maybe you're not being honest with yourself in some area. There's always something that we can discover, particularly in the places that we get triggered. So that's where I would look at the mirror, is where something gets triggered in you. And, you know, I have great friends who are very conscious, who will very much point things out in me. I remember being with a guy friend of mine, and we were watching this dating show, and there was this woman on there who was really shut down and defensive. And out of nowhere, he goes to me, "You're like her." And I was like, what? I'm like, that's so mean. I'm like, she's the most shut down, defensive person I've ever seen. He's like, okay, well, you're not like that all the time. He's like, but you can be like that. And I got really triggered and defensive. But then I was like, oh, this is so interesting that he's pointing this out to me. So be open to what your relationships are helping you see about yourself. Be open to inquiring deeper into where you get triggered, into where things really affect you. And maybe look at either where there's a quality you want to embody that you're not owning, or there's a quality that you're really adamant you don't have, but if you dug a little bit deeper, you'd see maybe where you do. And then also take ownership of your own reactions, take ownership of what comes up in you and do the work around that versus expecting someone else to be different in order for you to feel better. But again, don't tolerate shit behavior. And I've said this a few times in my work. There's a fine line between getting the lesson and also being a punching bag. You know, we also need to ensure that if at any point the way someone is being with us is not okay, we don't want to sit there and tolerate verbal abuse or someone not treating us well just so we can get a lesson from it. That's not at all what I'm saying. And so there's a bit of like discernment that needs to happen here. I'm just more so meaning where you're getting triggered, not where people are being mean or critical or nasty or hurtful. You know, that's where you need to stand up for yourself and say, hey, this is not okay. You can't speak to me like this. You can't treat me like this, or I need to get out of this situation. So I hope that kind of makes sense. Okay. I'm trying to get through everything we've got here. All right, let's talk a little bit about anxiety. I've had a couple of questions come up around anxiety. All right. What do we do with anxiety? Someone's asked about, said, I've read some of your personal story. Does anxiety ever go away? This woman's only recently begun experiencing it, and it was a really scary experience for her. I've been working through it and I can manage it, but then sometimes it totally gets the best of me and I have no choice but to just lie down on the couch and rest. She said some of the teachings of this course are already helping her, but what other advice do I have? I've been struggling with anxiety since I was probably 15. I had my first panic attack when I was 17, and I've had social anxiety where I haven't been able to leave the house. I've had panic attacks where I've gone completely blank when I've had to perform, and I've had a question here about performance anxiety as well. I've had sleep anxiety where I just don't sleep at night, all night, every night. It's like I've had a lot of it. And what I would encourage you, first of all, to look at, if anxiety has come out of nowhere for you, I would really look at what happened then in April. What happened in April that started it? My most significant anxiety started when I began my business. Up until that point, I'd never had sleep anxiety before. And when I quit my day job and I went full-time into business, I went into such a state of fight or flight that I couldn't sleep. And I was also living in an apartment that had a mold issue, and mold can really affect anxiety. And I started just not sleeping all through the night, all the time. It was really bad. So sometimes it's helpful to look at what was the trigger, what was the event, what had really happened that began this for you. What I have learned to do with anxiety is several things. Is first of all, with all body sensations, is to pay attention to the sensation and what it's trying to tell you and why it's there. I believe our body's always communicating to us. I believe nothing ever goes wrong with the body, but the body is trying to tell you when something is out of whack, when something is unresolved, when you need support, when you need care, when you need love. And my anxiety to me is an indicator now of maybe where I'm not practicing enough self-care, of when my mind has gone too much into fear, of when I haven't been connecting with myself, of when I'm too externally focused. My anxiety is an indicator that actually helps me bring me back to me. And when that anxiety comes up, I listen to it. I honor it. I don't make it wrong and I don't judge it and I don't criticize myself for feeling it. I honor it and I listen to it. And I know it's intense and uncomfortable. But yeah, I will, like you, sometimes you just have to surrender to it. Sometimes I will just lie on the floor and be with that for as long as I need to be with it. Other times I take my anxiety with me. I'm like, okay, anxiety is just going to coexist with me today. And this happens sometimes. Sometimes I have commitments and work and things I have to show up for, and I have this gnawing anxiety in my stomach that is like churning and unsettled and not good. And I'm like, okay, well, that sensation is just going to coexist with me today. That's all right. What makes anxiety worse is the thinking that goes on around it. And if you can actually just allow it to be there with you as a sensation, as a feeling, it becomes less intense. For me as well, anxiety is actually sometimes my intuition communicating to me. I remember I had a situation playing out with a guy recently, and we had plans to have dinner that night, and I hadn't heard from him. And all that morning, like, my stomach was in knots. I was in complete knots. And I was thinking to myself, am I just worried and upset? Like, what's going on? But it was my intuition saying something's not right here and you're not going to have dinner with him. He's going to cancel on you and this guy is not right for you. It was a very strong intuitive feeling. He ended up canceling on me and I haven't seen him since. And it was just my body really saying, nah, con, this person is not good for you. So if you can see it as a communication, if you can be willing to open up and listen with a gentle, loving heart to what that anxiety is trying to tell you, you can sometimes get some messages from it. Also, be just so gentle and loving with yourself. The way that I've learned to handle my sleep anxiety is with so much love and care. It doesn't happen much for me anymore, but there's been a couple of nights, say through this year, where it's happened. And when I get hot and sweaty, my heart is racing, I can't sleep, I go into worst case scenario thinking, and I'm awake at 2 a.m. just being like, feeling like I could run a marathon. I've got so much adrenaline going through my body. And I just go, okay, Con, you're having a bad night, you're having a rough night. Don't worry, you're going to be okay. You can still function tomorrow. What do we need to do to support you? Get up, make some tea, burn some essential oils, do some yoga stretching, play some gentle music. It's okay, Con, even if you don't sleep tonight, you're still going to be okay. How can I support you? What's going on for you, honey? I talk to myself like this. What's going on for you? What are you worried about right now? Talk to me about it. What are you worried about? And I'll talk out with myself. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm really worried about this thing. And that's why I'm not sleeping. And I don't know what to do about it. And I just soothe and support myself through it. Just don't make yourself wrong when it arises. Know what your toolkit of practices are that you can use to support yourself through it. Again, honor what perhaps has triggered it. I think sometimes when your anxiety feels heard, it doesn't need to be as intense. That's just my experience. When I really acknowledge what it's trying to communicate to me, then it lessens. What else do I have here in my notes? And yeah, don't fight with it, surrender to it. If you actually have a more intense form of anxiety, get support. There's nothing wrong with, I've had friends who, you know, are seeing psychologists or therapists and are able to really talk out and get support with their anxiety. So definitely reach out to people. You don't have to go through it alone. And I think that's what makes anxiety worse, is the feeling of aloneness. So get some support and reach out and talk to people and ask for help and tell people what you're going through. I'll very often just call my mom and be like, oh, you need to just listen to me. I've got to talk about something. And my mom has become really good now at listening to me. She never used to be, but she's great at it now. So there's a lot of different things you can do, but they're the main things that have helped me. Another question here is around anxiety, around like performance anxiety. This woman's asked around it and she says she has a lot of anxiety with her study, with going into group environments through her course and needing to talk in front of the group and share things and discuss, and she gets really, really nervous. And she was saying here, she's noticed it's about her comparing herself to others, lacking confidence and feeling worried about other people's opinions of her. Now, this can happen in so many situations. A lot of us get this with public speaking, and I used to get it a lot with public speaking too. And like I said, I've had performance anxiety where I've actually had panic attacks in the middle. When I was working as a teacher, I had to get up and do teaching classes in front of my university supervisor. And there was one particular time I had a complete panic attack and actually couldn't breathe and couldn't speak in front of the class. It was mortifying. So I've had these things happen to me before. Sorry, I've got some electric saw going on outside, so I apologize about the background noise. So I was going to ask this woman, but she's already answered it through the question when I reread it, to really uncover what is the fear below it. Really, what are you afraid of? What is it that is driving this feeling, this fear of being seen, this fear of being exposed, this fear of being on the spot? What is your fear underneath that? And so she said, lacking confidence and worrying what other people think about me. And I want you to dig deeper. What are you worried they're going to think about you? What is the fear that if you were to be seen and heard, you're afraid you'll get it wrong? Are you afraid that what you're saying isn't good enough, that you'll come off as not being smart enough? When you can start to understand that, you can start to understand your own fear. And then you can support yourself through that. And understand, and I've had to learn this a lot through being very visible in my work, how can you possibly feel confident putting your message out there, putting yourself out there, when behind the scenes, all the self-talk is, you don't know what you're talking about. You're not good enough. You're not prepared enough. You're not as smart as that person. What you have to say isn't that great. Like, we can't possibly feel confident with that going on in the background. And so this is where some of our self-love work has to come in. And we really have to take a look at how we speak to ourselves. And that's our next class that you'll be getting next week, is about mindfulness and looking at your self-talk and your thoughts, because this is where our inner work is. So I want you to think about, where did some of these thoughts about yourself come from? These beliefs, perhaps. This might be stuff you picked up through your whole life. This might be stuff you learned as a child, that maybe you weren't as smart as others, or maybe, you know, you made some mistakes and you have this fear now of getting it wrong, or maybe you weren't praised enough as a child and you're so afraid of being criticized. It may be something like that. So go deeper into what this is for you, the fear behind this performance anxiety, and then there needs to be some self-love work now around how you relate to yourself and how you support yourself. And I've had to do this a lot in my work, is through consciously choosing to think about myself in different ways, to focus on my strengths, to focus on what makes me unique and beautiful, to value my messages and what I have to share, to make myself right rather than making myself wrong. Making yourself wrong will never leave you feeling confident to express yourself. So there's a bit of work there around looking, really valuing what you have to share, valuing your ideas, thinking about what it is that you want to say and share, and then sitting down and validating yourself for that, and believing in yourself, and saying some positive, kind, loving words to yourself, and going in there with the mindset of, you know, this may not be perfect. Maybe someone else will say it in a better way than me, but my only job is to express my truth and to love myself so that I can help myself express my truth, and to get clear on what that is, and then believe that that's enough, and tell myself that that's good enough, and show up and do my best. And then after that, to still love and support myself, even if I did make a mistake or fumble my words or look nervous, whatever. There's a lot of stuff that I do where afterwards I'm like, oh, I looked really nervous, or I looked awkward, or I was uncomfortable, or I didn't articulate that right. And after those moments, I can either berate myself or I can just love myself. So after those times where maybe, you know, you just show up, you say it, you do it, you don't do it perfectly, and knowing that the more that you do it, the more comfortable you'll get with it. But then how do you love and support yourself afterwards? After that, forgive yourself for any mistakes that you made. Say some loving and encouraging things to yourself. Be your own best friend. Be your own cheerleader. Praise yourself. Acknowledge yourself for just giving it a go. This is where we need to start coming in with our self-talk and really loving and supporting ourselves, because you won't ever feel comfortable and confident sharing who you are if you just have this voice tearing you down. You will be just expecting that other people will think the same critical things about you that you're thinking about yourself. So maybe write out on a piece of paper all the things that you're saying about yourself that are not supportive, that are critical, that are mean, that are harsh, that are making you wrong, that are tearing you down. And instead, I want you to stretch yourself to tap into your heart, to tap into the voice of love, and write out a whole page of loving and encouraging, positive, beautiful things that you can say to yourself instead that will help you feel confident and secure in what you have to say and will give you the love and support and praise and acknowledgement that you need to feel comfortable being seen and heard. Okay? All right. I'm getting there. I'm not close, not far off being done. I do want to say, if for any of the questions, if you feel like at any point I didn't quite give you the response that you needed, if you feel like I didn't go deep enough into a certain area, if you feel like there's something more you want to share in it, resubmit the question or submit the question in a different way for next call. I'm more than happy to revisit the same thing a few times, but I just give whatever information I can in the moment that we're here. All right, question around, this is almost sort of our final question. I think we've got two more. Question around how to support ourselves with our feelings. Similar to sort of what I've already been talking about, but this woman's asked, when you have a big emotional experience and feel it deeply in your body, how do you move forward from that? How do you create a safe space to lean in and experience all of the emotions so that it doesn't build up as a negative energy stuck in your body? What does that practice look like? And she's also said, I just want to add, it's for these moments when it's actually more supportive to not sit with your feelings, to not acknowledge that they're there, but to hold space for them another time when it's not socially acceptable to feel them in that moment. How do you then come back to your feelings? Okay, so we are going to do a whole entire class on feeling your feelings. That's in module two. A lot of module two is about coming deeper into your body, to your feelings, to your relationship with yourself, getting more intimate with all of that. So we will do a whole class on it. But as you saw before, I had an emotional reaction in a socially inappropriate place. Although I trust all of you as my audience, I was not expecting that emotional response, and it probably wasn't the place for me to have it. And I had to kind of get over it. You know, if I had been on the call, I would have let myself have a bit of a cry over that. And I can still feel it's there to some extent if I let myself go there. So look, your emotions do need to be honored. They do need to be acknowledged. There are too many women, and I've coached this woman over and over and over, too many women disconnecting from their feelings, feeling that our emotions are too big, too much, inappropriate, over the top. It's not the right time to feel them, all those things. And I get it, particularly if you're in a day job and things like that. You can't just be having these emotional meltdowns at work. I understand that. But look, you can process an emotion at another time. You can do it. Like for me, for example, sitting here, I can feel in the back of my mind now, oh, there's something coming up around Dad. And he comes in and out of my, he only passed away about 18 months ago, less. So he still comes up. There's still emotion there. Grief, anyone who's in grief, and I know there's a couple of women who are because you've shared with me. Anyone who is in grief knows that grief does not last a month, 6 months, a year. It lasts forever. It never goes away. Most emotions are like that. They have a lot of layers and they come in and they come out. So I can feel in myself, okay, there might be something that at some point today I need to sit with around stuff with Dad. There's another layer there at the moment. I can feel it in my throat at the moment. But now's not the time. After this call, I've got to go to a meeting. So now's not the time for me to go into it. So what I would probably do is just acknowledge that emotion in myself and be like, okay, there's something coming up for me today. I would acknowledge what that emotion is. Okay, there's some sadness. I can feel it in my chest and in my throat. And because I want to support myself through that, I'm going to make a bit of time later today just to come back to that emotion and sit with it. And I'm going to ask myself, how are you feeling, Connie? What's going on? How are you feeling at the moment? What's coming up for you? How are you feeling? And that emotion may not be present then and there, but at least I'm acknowledging it and I'm noticing it and I'm aware that it's there. And then I'm going to see if I can create some space to come back to it. And actually, I realized this woman was sharing with me about her relationship with her dad, that he actually has been diagnosed with cancer and that there's some stuff going on. So, you know, I feel you very much. That, not saying that it's similar. Obviously, he's unwell and it's different to when someone's passed away, but there's still very strong emotions around these types of things. So I understand the emotional process. So look, I also feel for you, I'm getting this energy of something where you feel like you always need to be holding it together and be the strong one for people. I don't know if that resonates, but that's just what I'm picking up on. And if that's you, you know, if that's your tendency, maybe then it's about learning how to be the one that lets others in to support them. Learning how at times to be the one that does fall apart, the one that does need help, the one that is emotional. You know, and I'm the eldest, I resonate with being the strong one. And everyone said that to me when Dad died, Connie, you've been so strong. But there have been times where I've had to let myself fall apart and be the one where other people are strong for me. We need to let ourselves be that. So look, in terms of how you process emotions, you most 100% definitely acknowledge it. You acknowledge what is coming up. You let it be there. You make it right. You don't make it wrong. You label it. You say, wow, that's sadness. That's pain. That's hurt. That's fear. Label it, acknowledge it, witness it. Notice where you feel it in your body. And if you can, even just take 5 minutes, go into the bathroom and have a cry if you can. If you can't, make some space to come back to it later. If you can't, jump on the phone with someone, have a conversation with someone and say, you know, earlier today, like this, oh, this came back up for me today. And maybe that will help you process it. But I always encourage you when you do make space to go into your emotions, to identify where in your body you feel it, to make some space for yourself if you can, to sit down and sit with it and be with it and just be in your body. And usually as soon as you come back into your body, as soon as you do something that gets you back into your body, the emotion will still be there for you to process. So I can disconnect from it right now because I'm not in my body as much. I'm more up in my head. I'm thinking, I'm talking, I'm engaging. If I at some point today make some space to drop into my body, maybe I'll do some stretching, roll out the yoga mat, have a bath, do some body massage, I'm pretty sure that emotion will still be there. So the body's always in the body. The emotion is always in the body. And this is the problem for most of us, is we have stuffed our emotions down into our body and then we try to disconnect from the body so that we don't have to feel what's in there. So this is a big conversation. I'm going to do a whole class on it. But come back to it if you can and create a space where you can be with yourself, to come into your body, to ask yourself how you're feeling, to acknowledge what you're feeling, to talk out the emotion if you want to close your eyes and notice where in your body you feel it and hold your full focus on that and be like, wow, there is still some sadness in my chest. I feel really sad at this moment. I feel an aching in my heart. I feel sadness behind my eyes. I feel grief. I feel worry, whatever it is, and talk it out loud and let it be there and make it right and acknowledge it. And have the courage just to be with it, knowing that emotions are just energy. Emotions are just energy moving through your body. And let that energy move. Don't push it down. And just love and support yourself through it as well. Journal about it if you need to, talk to someone about it if you need to, and let the emotion move through your body. Use dance. Dance is a beautiful one to get energy moving. Go for a big walk. She's saying as well, if you've worked so hard to disconnect from and suppress your emotions so that you don't fall in that moment, how do you find your way back there? Well, look, if your tendency is to disconnect, I would encourage you to actually be letting yourself feel more, even if it means being messy and falling apart. Maybe you need to give yourself permission to do that sometimes. And use movement. Movement is a beautiful way to process emotion, and we'll talk about this a lot more in the classes coming forward. I've also done a couple of podcast episodes on emotions. I've got one that's called Feel Your Feelings and Honor Your Emotions. I think that's what it's called. And I've got another one where I actually talk about my dad around, I think it's called something around lessons on grief and resilience and letting go. I think it's something like that. But I talk about my experiences of how I processed the emotion after dad's passing. So there's a couple of podcasts that might help you as well. But we will talk about this a lot more in future classes and future calls. Okay, last question, my loves. I'm going to try to keep it to an hour. Last question is from a woman who's just feeling like she's come into this course knowing that there are things brewing below the surface for her. So she's saying, I've planted seeds in my life that I'm wanting to germinate, as she said, but at the moment everything feels empty and dull and barren. And like nothing's happening. She says, in myself, my relationships, my work, there's no aliveness, no growth, no joy. She says it just is like, she actually says life feels like a barren wasteland. You know, these are pretty big feelings. And as she said, she feels the knowing that there's stuff below the surface for her, but she hasn't seen it blossom. And so she's finding it hard she's feeling quite numbed out and disconnected, she's saying. So look, if you're in a place at the moment where external manifestations are not blossoming and you feel like nothing's happening and you're wanting things to happen out there, I would temporarily take your attention off those things. Because the more that you focus on what you want and then focus on it's not here, nothing's happening, the more you keep yourself in that space. So it's actually better to take your attention off it altogether and focus more on yourself. If at the moment you can't find joy and aliveness and fulfillment through the external, maybe it's time to focus on finding that within yourself. So I would start with really small things, and I've always done this when the external areas of my life are not working. I focus on one, finding my joy, following my joy, finding my bliss. There's a little exercise in the journaling guide ebook about doing that. You can find joy and happiness and bliss in the smallest things. And that's where I would begin. Is it in the smell of having a bunch of flowers in your house? Is it in the feeling of having a bath? Is it in the sound of a beautiful song? Is there joy in the experience of cooking a beautiful meal for yourself? Is there joy in going for a nature walk? Is there joy in watching a funny movie on Netflix? Is there joy in sleeping in on a Sunday morning? Is there joy in doing a little bit of yoga stretching or the smell of an essential oil or painting or dancing or playing with your pet? Where are those small little places that you can find some bliss and joy? You can find them. And I've talked about this before, that I wrote out whole pages upon pages of my little joys, my little moments of bliss in a journal when I was trying to find my joy again. And those little things, I just began filling up my life with tiny little moments of joy that were not based on anything outside of myself, but were based on me doing those little tiny things in my life, even just walking outside and feeling the sun on my skin. And I would sit there and I would just appreciate it and to be in gratitude of that. Or finding an amazing book in a secondhand bookstore and just like reveling in that book and reading it and underlining it and loving it. Or going to a cafe and finding the most amazing chai latte ever and loving sitting in that cafe drinking that chai latte. You can find joy and bliss in the tiniest of things. And that's where I would begin. I would also begin with choosing how you want to feel. Pick 1 to 3 or to 5 feeling words, words that feel really important to you that if you could feel them, it would just make life so much more enjoyable. And then I would ask yourself, what's one little thing you can do for yourself every day that will help you feel that feeling? then you get back in charge of your emotional state. You're no longer waiting for things outside of you to change so that you can feel how you want to feel. You're in charge of your feelings. So then get about doing those little things every day, taking little steps so that you can experience those feelings. And I would also say, start to live in a state of appreciation and gratitude. We can either look at life through the lens of not enough, what is lacking, what is not working, what isn't good, or we can consciously tune our eyes to see beauty, to see magnificence, to see what is wonderful, to see what we love and appreciate and are grateful for. And that can start to activate more joy in your life as well. Now, as your inner state changes, as you start to fill yourself up with more beautiful, joyful feelings, feelings of fulfillment, of happiness, of finding pleasure in life, of finding contentment, of feeling how you want to feel, then all those little seeds below the surface will start to germinate and blossom. They have to. They'll be activated by your energy. You'll be like the sun. The sun will radiate from you and radiate onto those little seeds and bring them to life. But if at the moment it's all lacking out there, and then your inner state is still feeling discontent and unhappy and just noticing what's lacking, there's no energy that's being flown onto those seeds to help them activate and blossom. So it's going to start within you. And that's not easy work to do, but that's where you begin. Start really small and simply focus on feeling different, doing whatever you can to activate more joyful, loving feelings within you, and know that it will only be a matter of time before life begins to shift to reflect the change that has happened in you. Yeah, that is where I would begin. Whew, all right, my loves. Oh, there's things coming through that I didn't see. Whoops. Sorry, my loves. All right, let me just quickly see your questions and comments. All right, wow, I've been missing a lot of stuff. Someone putting headphones in at an office is a signal for no interruptions. Thank you, Laura. Laura has said a beautiful thing. If you're in an office and you need boundaries, she has said there that when you put in your headphones, for example, that is a signal saying, I'm not available to talk right now. And I've heard a lot of people do that. They will create just little mini boundaries, even if it's just for pockets of time. This was going back to a question from earlier. That is a signal that I'm unavailable in this moment. Amanda, saying slow down to myself has really helped me be centered and calm, even in busy situations. Beautiful. That is such a small way that you can just be reminding yourself, slow down. That's where you're back in charge of how you're responding to everything going on. Ada, would it help just to ignore them? It could absolutely help to ignore them. We're all, like, I know from working with corporate women, everyone's in various different situations. I work with some corporate women who absolutely can close a door to their office, extricate themselves from the situation, put in a boundary and say, I can't help you right now, go to someone else. But there are some work environments where I know you have to be more available. If you're working in a team, if you are reporting to someone, for example. So pick your battles, because there are some places where maybe you can put in a boundary. And if you want to, give yourself permission to do that. You don't have to be available 24/7. And if you can ignore people, beautiful, definitely do that, because that would be the ideal situation, wouldn't it? Bianca can relate to that. Beautiful. Thank you, Bianca. Thank you, Amanda. Nicole, need to drop off in a few minutes or watch the rest later. If time, have a couple of questions, no worries. If not, Nicole, we have totally run out of time, my love. Could I add them, your beautiful three questions or two questions, can I add them to the run sheet for next call? I would love that if I could. And thank you for sending love about my dad. Really didn't expect that I would get upset by him. Carol, I get the misunderstood trigger at work a lot. Yeah, Amanda, great advice. Thank you. Laura, what tips do you have for forgiveness? Can I add that to the run sheet for next call, please, because I've run out of time. My pleasure, Ada. Thank you. Thank you, Laura. I appreciate your support. Thank you, Kelly. Glad you were able to be here for a little bit. Yes, Ada, it is an indicator to bring you back to be to yourself. Beautiful. Amanda, do you talk to yourself out loud? Yes, I talk to myself out loud. It's actually one of my favorite self-care practices. It is one of the best things I've learned how to do, because it slows you down. When you're trying to figure something out in your head, it is very difficult to like do a two-way conversation because it's just all in there. So I find one, either talking out loud or journaling, because both of those help you slow down your thinking enough because you've got to get it out. And then you can look at it and observe it. I actually sit and talk with myself in the mirror. It works really well for me. I know it's weird, just don't let it be weird. But if something's going on, I will very much sit down and be like, okay, Con, what's going on? Let's talk about it. What's upsetting you? What are you feeling right now? Why are you getting triggered? I think I did this yesterday, actually. I was feeling so overwhelmed by some stuff I'm doing. I sat down on the couch and I said, okay, Con, what's going on? And I was like, you know, I think what I'm feeling overwhelmed about is that I'm trying to go through these changes. I'm trying to up-level my business. It's asking me to make bigger financial investments. It's asking me to go to the next level in terms of how I'm going to do things. It's asking me to have bigger boundaries. And wow, that is hard for me. And I was just saying out loud, I'm like, you know what? I feel uncomfortable and overwhelmed because I've got to do things differently. I've got to step into new territory. I've got to learn some new patterns of behavior. And that's hard. And then I'm like, okay, well, no wonder I feel a bit overwhelmed. I've got to learn how to do things differently. And then I said to myself, okay, well, let's just write out all of the new things we've got to do, all of the changes we've got to make, all of the practices we've got to implement, and let's work through it one step at a time. And just through that, through simply talking to myself, acknowledging what was going on, and coming up with one step I could take in that moment to help me, I was pretty good after that. Sometimes we just need to be acknowledged. Sometimes that's the most like validating, beautiful thing. Just acknowledge what's going on for you. Talk it out and see if you can do one thing in that moment to help you with it. Yes, so definitely talk out loud to yourself. I highly recommend that. All right. I'm sorry I missed all your comments as I was going. I was just in the flow, but thank you to all of you who were interacting with me and chatting with me. Any of the questions that came through today that I didn't have time for, I will add to the run sheet for next call. So I'm sorry I didn't get to answer them now, but they will be on the run sheet for next call. Thank you for those of you who are here live. The replay is now available on the Facebook page. So just go and rewatch it, and we'll be embedding it on the members site soon too, so you can watch the recording there. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for being here live. Enjoy this week's class on presence. Keep enjoying that. And next week we're talking about mindfulness, self-talk, and changing your thoughts. Very powerful class. So I will see you all then. Sending you lots of love, and I'll talk to you soon, my loves. Bye.